Staff from Vision Norfolk for people living with sight loss and visual impairment took part recently in the Broadland Challenge to raise money for the charity. Mark Smith talks to Ed Bates to find out how he got on.
Hello everyone, it's Mark. I've come to the Bradbury Centre here at Vision Norfolk, and with me I've got Ed Bates. Now, last month, Ed, yourself and me and a few others from Vision Norfolk went along to take part in the Broads Challenge event. And some of us were doing 25k, others were doing 50, and one or two were also very brave and doing the 90k. And you started off doing the 50k, I believe, with your sighted runner, Matt.
Yeah, that's right. First of all, hello, Mark, and hello to all the listeners. Thanks for having me on. It's great to talk to you all, and it's great to sort of speak to you, Mark, about this as well. So thank you for having me on. The event itself, I did for 50 kilometres with my sighted assistant, Matt Lawley. Now, Matt, we should just pay a little bit of tribute to Matt, Mark, I think, before we go any further into this. Matt is a very new volunteer to Vision Norfolk. He started with us in April. So his first main challenge as a volunteer, he'd not really worked with anybody with any blindness or sight loss before, was to help me out of this walk, 50 kilometres. So a pretty big debut, don't you think, for somebody who's new to this?
Absolutely, yes.
And he had to be with me all day as well.
Oh, which wow. Must have been...
He survived somehow, I believe. We're still speaking now.
So Matt was your guide. And as part of taking part in the Broads Challenge event, we also got sponsorship, didn't we? So I believe you opened a Just Giving page, like many others of us, and you got quite a lot of sponsorship, Ed.
Well, first of all, before we even come on to that, I just thought I'd like to have a little bit of a chat about what it was like deciding what distance to do, Mark, if I may.
Yes, fine.
I was asked, I think you remember the day that the email went round from our fundraising colleagues, and I remember thinking, wow, that's a long way. And I was talking to another one of our colleagues here who tried to persuade me to do the 90. Now, there was a period of about a night where I thought I could do 90 kilometres. That is probably one of the best decisions I've ever made, not to take that one on. And over the weekend, I thought, do you know what? I'll go for the 50. So once I made that decision, the reason I wanted to do 50 instead of 25, by the way, I thought 25, obviously, sure, it's less of a distance, but I thought 50 would be more of a challenge. And I thought it might be quite fun to do that. Mm. So I opened up, as Martin rightly said, the Just Giving account. And that took off massively. I think the thing that helped me was, I don't know what it was. ITV and other local radios got the story. I don't know if you experienced this, Mark, being blind as well. But like, to me, I was just doing a walk.
Absolutely.
And I was quite surprised by how the media took it. You know, I've dealt with the media quite a lot over the years, as I know you have as well. And you'd think kind of that, like, some stories don't really get very hot with them, but this one really took off. But probably, thanks to them and my friends and Matthew's friends, we managed to raise just over £1,400. I'd like to thank anybody who donated and everybody who donated and was so generous in that, because as we know, times are really, very tough. People don't have a lot of spare money to give to organisations. And so having that amount of money on my page at the end of it was utterly fantastic. And I think you did well as well, Mark, didn't you? The association itself did well, but you did all right yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, I raised a similar amount, Ed. And just going back to the actual day itself, we had quite an early start. And I believe you probably had quite an early start because you started in Aylsham, was it?
That's right. Well, you had to go to Acle, didn't you, which is the start-finish point, and then head over to Hickling. Is that correct for your distance?
That's right, yes.
Well, for us, we didn't have that opportunity for the photo shoot. So Matt and I met at Aylsham, and we started walking about 8 o'clock. It was a fine day. It was during the sort of hot spell we had during June. Now, the weather, you had to put a lot of sun cream. If you're someone like me and burns very easily, you have to be very, very careful. But the day itself, there was a decent cool breeze. The sun was obviously there, but the breeze was manageable enough to just sort of keep the air flowing, which cooled us down and kept us moving, because 50 kilometres is a long way to walk.
Absolutely, yes. And whilst Matt was guiding you around the Broads, Ed, Was he able to describe what was around you?
Yeah, so Matt was very descriptive. We'd had a few practices beforehand, but we hadn't really been able to do very much. So a lot of it had just been communicated. Well, firstly, the main problem had been, of course, the lockdowns. But he came and met me at Wroxham one night, and then he came and met me near a mine, and we had a walk around the dunes. And the dunes is actually a much more difficult terrain than the Broads Walk itself was, because there's a lot of up and downs and a lot of long grass there. But on the day itself, Matt was very descriptive and was telling me how far we'd gone and, you know, about the rivers. And he was also really good for telling me, you know, to come behind him if there was a narrow bit or steps or gates or anything like that. You know, I can't praise Matt highly enough for what he did. Again, to come into it as, well, new to this kind of guiding and that kind of thing. I think, you know, I really don't think you can praise him enough, because it must be really difficult being that sighted assistant, Mark.
Absolutely.
And the first time as well is to go to a 50-kilometer walk, you know.
It's quite a tall order.
For us, like, I know it's tough, but we don't have to worry about where we're going. And I think, you know, I mean, your guide, Stuart, Mark, is a lot more experienced. But I'm sure when he first started meeting you and taking you out on those 10K runs that we did, it must have been hard for him in the beginning.
Yes, it is, Ed. Absolutely. Yes, yes. And what was it going like under foot?
It started off quite well. So there was a lot of gravel paths, sort of unmade roads, and quite a few roads, actually, in the early bits. And then after the lunch period, so we did about 30 kilometres just before lunch. And then we headed into Hickling. And I don't know, Mark, because you started at Hickling Broad, didn't you? There was a very long path, which was extremely grassy.
Yes.
And that was very tall.
It was, yes.
And for me, after walking 30 kilometres already at that point, having to lift my legs up high to go over that grass didn't seem to do them a lot of good.
No, it's hard going, isn't it?
It was. I experienced quite a lot of muscle problems after that because of that particular point.
Yes.
But it was very dry as well underfoot, so we didn't have to worry about mud or puddles or anything particular like that. And so I guess that made it easier for Matt as well. But and it was flat as well, wasn't it? There weren't many hills. There weren't many steps. It was straightforward throughout most of the course in terms of that side of it.
Great. And whilst you were on the course, we were all wearing our Vision Norfolk T-shirt. So it was some good publicity for the charity, wasn't it?
Yeah. And this is what it's all about, Mark, isn't it? You know, a lot of charities and organisations have really suffered over the last year during the lockdown. I think we can say that Vision Norfolk really needed the cash boost and the awareness boost. And I think wearing our tops and all of that really helped to promote us. And I really hope that it's actually going to now do us some good now that we've done the walk as well, because, you know, we really hope that we can, as we're talking, we're about 4 days away from the restrictions lifting. That might be different by the time you listen to this. But it would be great to think that we might be able to get back to something like we knew life as in the very near future.
Absolutely. And
it was great that our fundraising team could get us on that walk, don't you think, Mark? Because it gave the promotion that we so badly need.
Yes, absolutely. Totally agree with you there, Ed. Yes, that's right. Yeah. And obviously because it was an outdoors event and we were able to go ahead with it, and there was quite a few other people taking part on the day, wasn't there?
Do you know what amazed me, Mark? I mean, what Matt and I did is fantastic. I've never walked 50 kilometres in my life, but I have to pay tribute to those who were doing the 90 kilometres. During the day, we saw several people who were doing these things called ultra marathons, where they just run and run and run. So by the time we'd maybe done, say, 30 kilometres, they'd already done 60. And lots had already even finished before we even got close to the finishing time. You know, I would imagine that some people came from out of the county, because people sign up to these ultra events and they sign up and they just run and run. You know, I don't know how anybody could do that, but it's absolutely fantastic that they're able to do that. And I guess, I mean, there's no way I could ever do it, but I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit jealous in that how talented these people are, in that they can actually do such a thing. I mean, can you imagine running 90 kilometres?
It's a huge order, isn't it? Yes. Yes, I mean, it's like doing a double marathon, isn't it?
Oh, easily. I mean, I walked 32 miles that day, so that's just over a marathon. So probably they run the best part of 45, 50 miles.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, totally get you there, Ed. Yes, that's fine. And was it quite a nice atmosphere on the day?
Yeah, it was nice. We had sort of pockets where we saw quite a few people, and then we'd have kilometre after kilometre where we saw nobody. And that was quite nice, you know? Like, it was just nice to kind of relax, and it was quite good having the people, especially towards the last 5 kilometres, my muscles began to tighten up. And I needed that noise and that support then to help me get over the line, because mentally I was beginning to really struggle with it.
Yes.
I'd say for the first 45 kilometres I was okay, but the last 5 did it. So it was nice to hear the silence, and of course there's the wildlife and the birds if you're into that kind of thing. But also it's also good to hear the conversation of people, and you don't even see people necessarily who are entering the event. They just might be out on a walk, for example. So it's very good to have the different sounds, and yeah, it was certainly very nice to get over that finishing line at the end of the day, Mark.
Absolutely. Well, that's led me nicely on to my next question, Ed. So you set off from Aylsham at about 8 o'clock.
Yep.
And you then, your destination was the recreation ground in Acle. Do you remember what time you arrived there?
Well, unfortunately, because of my muscles, it was 9:30.
Wow.
Now,
very long day for you.
It was. I think there were some things that I probably could have done differently, Mark. I think probably I should have been less keen to have rushed off the minute I ate my lunch. So we stopped at Hickling for lunch. You probably didn't go in there because you started off there, I would think. But we had our lunch and I ate my pasta and whatever they gave me. And then I said to Matt, right, let's go. Probably what I should have done was sat there and done nothing for 30 minutes and let my muscles recover a bit. But I was so worried I wouldn't get going again. And I think that's why I paid for it later on in the day. So the last 5 kilometers, you know, we were doing sort of 10K every sort of 2 hours.
Yes.
And the last 5K probably took me about 3 hours alone.
Wow.
Because I was having to stop every 100 yards and lie on the ground and stretch my muscles out, you know.
Uh-huh.
So while I'm sounding like I'm being completely dramatic about it, it was a painful experience towards the end. That was that put me off, to be honest with you. Whereas if I'd just done 45 kilometers and stopped, that would have been okay. But I was no way being pulled out because I couldn't walk. So I think I would have been able to have done it maybe by about, say, 7 or 8 p.m. Had I not had the last issues in the last 5K. But again, Matt was fantastically supportive through that. I cannot thank him enough for the way he was.
Yeah, we had some brilliant guys, didn't we, helping us?
Oh, we did. And I'm sure, Mark, you'd like to pay tribute to your guy, Stuart, on here as well.
Totally. Yes, I mean, without Matt and Stuart, neither of us could have done it. And not only were they just guiding us, but they were describing what was happening, chatting away to us. And it's a very lovely experience walking with a sighted guide, because they do become your buddy. They're not just there to tell you when to turn left or right or where there's any steps. It's quite a nice partnership, isn't it?
I think you've absolutely nailed it on the head there, Mark. You know, it's very important that, you know, anybody, a lot of our listeners will know, of course, because they've probably experienced sighted guiding. But it's great that people want to even do this as well, Mark.
Yes.
Don't you agree that they want to give up their days to do something quite responsible? Yes. I mean, would you like to sort of explain a bit about your walk and your day on this recording?
Sure. Well, I wasn't quite as adventurous as you, Ed. I tackled the 25K, and Stuart and I set off at 8:30 from Hickling Barn, and we did the walk around the Broads over a distance of 25K, walking round Potter Higham, around Fern, and then arriving back at the recreation ground in Aylsham. I think from memory, we arrived back about 7 hours later at 3:30. We did stop for a little while for lunch, but most of the time we were on the move most of the time. We had to negotiate some gates and one stile. that was it. That was interesting.
Yes.
And like you say, there was quite a lot of tall grass around it. But it was lovely to hear lots of the wildlife. That's one thing I remember, was hearing the wildlife from the route. And it was lovely being out in the open air. And Stuart spent quite a lot of time describing a lot of the windmills to me, because obviously on the Broads, there's a lot of history with windmills.
Yeah.
So that was something that was nice. We did have a little bit of wildlife with one or two cows and fields. So that was a bit hairy at one or two points. And there was a bit of a landslide at one point where the path had been diverted. But fortunately, because the weather had been dry, it was quite firm underfoot. Whereas if it had been quite wet, it would have been quite a tricky course to have managed. But I certainly enjoy taking part. And I know as a group, Ed, with our gift aid money, I think our fundraiser, Rob, is telling me we've raised in the region of about £6,000.
Wow. That really is incredibly generous, isn't it, Mark, at this particular time?
Absolutely, yes.
You know, 6,000, I mean, you know, that's fantastic in anyone's book. And for me personally, to think that we've contributed that, Mark, as well.
Absolutely.
How were you the next day, Mark?
I got a bit sunburnt. I didn't put enough sun cream on the backs of my legs. And certainly my knees and my hips did ache for a few days afterwards. But it's a lovely sense of achievement.
Oh, yeah.
And you're really spurred on by the organisers and the stewards on the route, and knowing that people have so kindly, generously sponsored you, that does spur you on to really want to do it and want to achieve.
And we've done the 10K runs before, Mark, as well. And I actually, although I moan about the last 5K being very, very tough, I'd actually rather do that again than the run. I've decided, I mean, you know, I find running very difficult.
Yes.
With my muscular issues.
Yes.
So I'd rather do the walk and, you know, like, it kind of makes me think, you know, it's probably a lot longer. Yeah. You don't expect to take 13 hours to do a walk in my case. But, you know, like just having the opportunity to do something different was really nice. And
yeah.
I think it was just as tough on your old feet, but maybe less than the run would be in certain ways as well.
Yes, that's very true. Well, it's been lovely to catch up with you, Ed, and to hear about the 20, 25 and the 50K walks we did around the Broads last month. And thank you for your time, and I wish you all the best with your next challenge.
Oh, give me a break first, Mark.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks,
all the best.
Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mark Smith was talking to Ed Bates.